All right, and we're back on the podcast.
Yo.
I'm yelling.
Hi.
So we started out every week. I'm Adam. This is the man with no name. Evan clearly has a name.
Well, I have a name, but like I don't have a name, but it's when I use my name, it's Evan.
Right, but you're normally the man with no name.
Normally, I just go by no name.
All right, it's Pup Junk Movies. We're doing it on a Friday instead of a Saturday.
Yeah, changing it up.
Yep. Labor Day weekend. Guess what I'm doing? Labor.
You gonna do labor?
I'm gonna do labor.
I'm doing labor, too.
Doing labor all weekend. Mm-hmm. So, we're firing this bitch up on a Friday. We're gonna talk some movies. We're gonna drink some beer. Evan, what are you drinking tonight?
Well, I have two beers that I'm gonna be drinking throughout the show.
Uh-huh.
I started myself off with a Foster's.
Yeah. That'll help us segue into our first movie.
Right. Foster's Australian for beer. Mm. I say it's Australian for shit.
It doesn't taste very good.
It doesn't taste good, but I have a real soft spot for shitty tasting beers. I don't know
it
why.
It tastes like beer. It's the most generic flavored beer I've ever had.
It tastes like a Duff.
Yeah.
It tastes like a Duff beer.
I'm drinking Negra Modelo, which I think I had during the first episode. So we're celebrating six episodes.
Okay, yeah.
So that's what we're doing. That's what's happening. This is one of my favorite beers, to be honest with you. Love this beer.
I haven't had many. I might trade you one tonight.
They're delicious. It's an imported Mexican brew.
Ooh.
So
I mean, that goes along. I mean, there's a lot of Mexican themes with a lot of the Western movies.
Absolutely.
So.
We'll be out west. We'll be doing top five Westerns. Yes. Not a strong suit of mine. I'm going to say that right off the bat. You have seen a lot more Westerns than I did. I watched a couple movies this week to kind of broaden my horizons a little bit. My list is a little off the beaten path. I'm not going to lie to you. But It'll help spice up the list. We're probably gonna have a little bit of crossover because I know we both have a couple favorite Westerns that will be the same movie, but we'll get to that later. Let me take a sip for the working man real quick.
So we got beer for the working man.
Delicious.
Mm.
So we saw a little movie last weekend. One of my most anticipated summer movies.
We trotted out to the movie theater.
We did. We trotted out to the theater. We caught a matinee. A little movie called The World's End.
Yeah.
It is the third movie in the Coronado trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know why it's called the... I think it's Coronado. Do you know why? You don't.
I thought it was blood...
No, it has nothing to do with that. It's the ice cream that he asked him to get in Shaun of the Dead.
Oh.
So it's just like stuck. And they make reference to Coronado in Hot Fuzz. And right. It just became the Coronado trilogy. I don't think there is no reference in. But they had, during the premiere, they had Edgar Wright, Nick Frost, and Simon Pegg all had Coronados. They're like the drumsticks.
Oh, okay. So,
I also have to, if you follow the podcast, if you are an avid, if you're one of our five avid listeners, Corey is not joining us today. Caught a case of the sniffles.
Yeah, he's...
Literally, he has a cold, and he was probably going to sniff and cough into the microphone, so he martyred himself.
Yeah, we don't need that.
And said, you know what, you guys, go on without me. I said, all right, man, we'll do our best.
Yeah, we'll try
so
to get
we'll
along.
Have him on a future episode. Maybe something more up his... I mean, he does like Westerns, but maybe something more up his alley. He's a big 80s movie guy. Maybe we'll kind of come up with something something themed more towards his tastes.
Yeah.
But, all right, so back to The World's End. We saw that. I said, walking out of this movie, I think I said to you, this was my favorite summer movie.
Yep.
Because it was the only movie that I saw that I wanted to see again.
Yeah, I had the same reaction. It's definitely probably my favorite movie of the summer just because of how fun it was to see.
It's just a very fun movie. I think they said more with this movie. Than the previous, I think it was more a personal movie.
Yeah.
It's a lot about, like, nostalgia and about, like, kind of refusing to grow up, resisting adulthood.
Yep.
It's sort of the main theme of the movie, whereas the main character, Gary King, played by Simon Pegg, he's basically trying to get, his friends went on a pub crawl on the last day of high school, and he's trying to, like, relive his glory days, so he gets all the friends together. To go on the pub crawl. It's 12 pubs, 12 pints, and it ends at the last bar called The World's End.
Which yeah, they did it when
the
they
movie
were,
from.
They did it when they were kids.
Right.
When they got out of high school, and they made it to like nine or 10 bars or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. and like it was like this awesome night, and he can't let go,
trying to relive it.
Yeah, and like all the other guys really aren't interested. They kind of went on to just become adults and live like real lives, and he's just kind of this loser who, you know, he's just like a drunk, and they said a lot with this movie more so than Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz. Those were just kind of like they took references from some of their favorite movies, you know, all their favorite zombie movies and Shaun of the Dead, and then all their favorite action movies. This one kind of went off on its own. I don't know if it's my favorite of the three movies. It's like, I love all three of these movies.
Yeah, I love all of them.
That would really have to see what stands the test of time, because my favorite is Shaun of the Dead. The movie's hilarious.
Yeah, I have to agree. Mine's Shaun of the Dead, too. I really like Hot Fuzz, though.
Yeah, Hot Fuzz is good. I think this is a better movie than Hot Fuzz, in my opinion.
Yeah, only because of, I think, because this one had, like, a message.
Right.
Towards the end of the movie.
I was talking to Corey on the way to, because Corey saw it last night, and I was talking to him on the way to work, and I likened this almost to From Dusk Till Dawn. Not any, just hear me out.
I know where you're going with this.
From Dusk Till Dawn is like two movies in one.
Yeah.
Like, it just kind of all of a sudden takes like starts a left
turn.
Starts
out as like a bank robbery caper.
And all of a sudden it's a horror movie.
All of a sudden it's a fucking vampire movie.
This movie was really a movie about like friends and adulthood and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden it takes a turn into like a science fiction movie.
Yeah, it takes a very hard
abrupt
turn.
Right.
Yeah, much like From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah, and I think I would rather have seen the first movie. But it ties together. Ties together beautifully.
I've read other people reviewing World's End saying that they felt the same. They would have liked to see what the movie would have been like without the turn.
And I've read articles about people who thought the first half was boring. And it was like, all right, let's get to the action. And it's like, I was so much more interested in these people, and especially the main character played by Simon Pegg.
Well, I think a sign of a good movie, maybe this is or isn't a sign of a good movie, but the first half of the movie, I forgot that
it turns into
end of the world type of movie.
This is a movie that I don't want to give spoilers to. I think you should really go out and see it. The ending was fantastic.
Yeah.
The ending I did not see coming.
No, I did not see the ending coming, and it was fucking awesome.
Yeah, I was big, big fan of the end of this movie.
I love when the movies just go that extra step. And
yes, it doesn't give you a...
And it looked really cool.
Yes, it did. And it doesn't give you a classic like wrap-up. It like really kind of gets deep into the themes of the movie. And
yeah,
yeah, it was really good. This was a solid 4 out of 5 for me.
Yeah, I'd go as far... I'd give it a 4.5.
Really?
Yeah, I really, really liked World's End. Definitely my favorite of the summer.
So now, if you're following the podcast, and actually this is a conversation I wanted to have with you, I'm going to give you kind of in my head what my rating system is. A 4 out of 5, to me, is a must-see. It's a movie that you should go out and seek in the theater. 5 out of 5 is Pantheon. That's a classic.
Yeah.
Like, this, like, 5 out of 5 is probably one of, like, you would end up being one of my favorite movies. 3 out of 5 is, I recommend this. This is a good movie. Don't break your balls to go see it. 2 is not a good movie. And 1 is a shit movie.
Right.
So I
would say that there's a bit of a problem with our podcast, though.
Okay. Just one?
Probably many, but one that I'll, you know, goes along with our rating system.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see any movie. We don't just go out
right.
and see, like,
we kind of just see movies we want to see.
We didn't go out and see Immortal Instruments, and we're not going to fucking review that movie for you.
No, I might wait in line to meet the cast in the mall.
Yeah, and scream.
Yeah.
But, like, if we think a movie is shit, we're just flat out not going to see it. Much like the viewer.
Right.
Or the listener,
yeah.
I would say. You know, with things like the internet and,
yeah,
you know,
right.
like Rotten Tomatoes. Like, we're just, you know, we have busy schedules. We're not going to go out. We're going to go out and see movies that we really want to see and think are going to be good.
Yeah, like, we're not like a super professional podcast where we're going to see press screenings and whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, this is like... You know, I have like sometimes 2 days off a week, and those days are the days that I go, you know, on my days that I work, I watch movies at home on Netflix and whatnot.
Right.
And on my days off, I would go to the theater to see a movie. And yeah, I'm not going to go see fucking just whatever bullshit Adam Sandler movies out or whatever. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to see, all right, this is what I want to pay money to see.
But if you're listening to this podcast for us to just bullshit about movies, and that's the point.
Right.
You know, we're bullshit about movies that we like and want
to
see.
Yeah, and I'll try to be as objectionable as possible. Like, when we started the podcast, we saw Man of Steel, You liked it a little bit more than me. I hated it. Actually outright hated that movie. I was not a fan. Pacific Rim we saw. We talked about on the podcast. As time has gone on, I've actually become a little bit more resistant to that movie. I actually don't really like it all that much.
It didn't blow my socks up and down, but no, it was okay.
I think to me it went from maybe a 2 point, you know, down to like a 2 point. It's not a bad movie. It's just I didn't enjoy it as much as I really thought I was going to.
One of my rating systems is if I think a movie's a buy or not.
Right.
Like if I'm gonna buy it when it comes out on DVD, and you know, The World's End is probably a buy
for
me. Pacific Rim is not a buy.
No. And maybe like Elysium's on. It's on the.
I might.
Elysium is one of those like, oh, for $10, yeah, I might as well.
Yeah.
I would pick it up. I would watch it again.
I'd like to see it on Blu-ray.
Right.
Because it just looks awesome.
Yeah. So yeah, that's our review for The World's End.
Really good.
Unfortunately,
movie.
It only made. Actually, I don't know if this is unfortunate or not. It was like fifth in the box office. It made $8.8 million last weekend
in America.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, I don't see these movies doing a whole lot.
I'd say
lot
that's probably
here.
A success for them, to be honest with you, because those movies are like Hot Fuzz blew up on DVD. That's where it made its money. So. You know,
I mean, it's British humor. A lot of Americans don't get it.
Or they're resistant to trying to get it.
I really enjoyed British humor.
I theater was empty.
Yeah, there was nobody in the theater,
you know, you
which
could,
I like.
Which was awesome. You could have heard a mouse fart.
Yeah.
It was nice and quiet. I actually wish more people were laughing, because I thought it was a very funny movie with some really funny
sometimes
lines.
Sometimes it makes it a little bit better when people are laughing with you.
But, so that's what... That's my only movie that I watched. I watched a couple movies that I want to get into in my top five westerns, because I watched a couple of westerns and one of them made my list.
I got some. I watched a few movies over the week.
Okay, go for it.
One I won't take too much time on, but I finally got around to seeing Star Trek Into Darkness.
Yeah, this is a movie we talked about last. I talked about I saw last week, and then you watched it this week.
Yeah.
What'd you think overall?
That was pretty good. It's not story heavy.
No.
I think the best parts of these movies are the
crew interacting.
The banter between the crew.
Yeah, I agree.
More
Simon Pegg, please.
More Simon Pegg, more Carl Urban. I fucking love Carl Urban.
Yes, big Carl Urban fan.
Really big. Everything. I don't think I hate anything that he's done.
I'm sure we could find something.
Well, he's in Riddick, but he's good in Riddick.
Yeah, he was fine in Riddick.
He's pretty good in Riddick. His acting's pretty good. And both Star Trek movies, he's awesome. He's awesome in Dread.
Yeah. He's really good at making that frowny face.
Yeah, he's awesome with the frowny face. I don't know. Just one of the things I wanted to touch on with Star Trek is every time that Carl Urban's on screen, I'm always laughing. Or he always had some great line.
Yeah.
Simon Pegg was great.
Mm-hmm.
Could have used more of him.
I thought, after sitting on this movie, I praised this movie. I said it was better than the original. I think it's... Not that it's better than the original, but in the original there was a little too much like introductory exposition and all that stuff. And this one they just got to the action and it was a little bit more enjoyable.
That's one thing I wanted. I like movies that just jump right into the action or they just jump in while something's happening.
Right.
And I like the opening of this movie a lot.
Yeah, the opening was cool. I think now after thinking about it, the couple of things that I didn't like was they rehashed way too many things from the first movie.
Yeah.
It's like Spock and Kirk are like they're not getting along.
And I feel like those are signs of like problems with the script.
Yeah, they didn't evolve a lot of the characters.
Yeah.
And then I thought the villain is good.
He
was better than
both villains were cool.
Yes, both villains. Yes.
Peter Weller is in this movie.
Yes.
Really big Peter Weller fan.
I didn't spoil any of the Peter Weller stuff for you purposely.
No, I'm not going to say anything more about Peter Weller, but he was fucking awesome.
No, I mean, for you personally.
Oh,
wasn't like, oh, Peter Weller was awesome in this. He was good.
Really good. Benedict Cumberbatch was really good. Ex-Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
He was pretty good, yeah.
He has a very deep voice.
It's a very deep voice.
Does not match his face.
No, because he has like a...
Or his name.
He has like a baby like features.
Yeah.
But yeah, his voice is fucking creepy as hell.
And he's doing the voice of Smog.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
That's going to be sick.
Fucking dragon. I would say way too much action.
Yeah, almost like...
Way too much fucking action.
You almost kind of wanted to pump the brakes a little bit.
Yeah, I was watching Star Trek on the internet.
Mm.
And, like, every now and then I'll click over and look at something else. And, like, 2 seconds will go by and they're already, like, in peril. And I have no idea what the fuck's going on. So, don't look away.
Right.
Keep watching.
Yeah.
Because you might miss something. One point... It looks fantastic.
Yeah,
the visuals are just astounding.
If they can really flesh out a really good Star Wars script, his Star Wars movie is gonna look awesome.
Oh yeah, the whole time I'm like, man, if this is what Star Wars is gonna look like,
yeah,
I'm all in.
Like,
man.
Regardless of what the story is, if this movie looks as crisp,
yeah,
I thought he went a little there were lens flares, but it just wasn't as blatant, as this time around.
I just you gotta expect it.
Yeah. Just because I got Simon Pegg on the brain, I just want to, this is super unprofessional, I don't care. I want to segue back to The World's End real quick. One of the things I wanted to point out, because the one thing I did do, rather than run to the theater and see this again, I watched Shaun of the Dead. Simon Pegg and Nick Frost give their two best acting performances in World's End. They were phenomenal.
That reminds me. I loved how every movie, they're completely different characters.
Yes. They'll flip, like, one's the fuck up and one's the straight man.
Yeah.
But, like, in this movie in particular, in The World's End, like, they're both acting performances. You can tell, I think Space came out in 99. I mean, since then, I mean, they've just gotten better and better as actors. Yeah. And I hope both of them get some really good parts in the future.
Or at least keep making fucking movies together, please.
Yeah, I mean, I know, Edgar Wright's going to go on to do Ant-Man, and there's no casting for that yet and whatever, but we'll see what happens. But, yeah. All right, so that was Star Trek.
I'd give it a 4 out of 5. I think it was pretty good.
I'd probably buy it in the $10 bin.
I'd like to watch it on Blu-ray, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. And then another movie I watched this today.
Mm-mm.
I watched on Netflix, Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Okay, yeah, I would like to. I'm coming in a weird place with this movie because I watched about 20 minutes of this movie, I want to say about 6 months ago, and I feel like I lost interest and stopped watching.
After seeing, like, Cabin in the Woods, and, like, it's very much like, I would put this in a category of, like, Shaun of the Dead and Cabin in the Woods, where
it's satirical.
It's a comedy anti-horror movie.
Right.
This movie, it takes the classic, teenagers in the woods getting slaughtered by the
flips it on its head
evil
and
hillbillies,
makes,
and yeah, they turn it
the
around.
The hillbillies are the good guys, and the teenagers are the bad guys. Which is a good. It's never been done. It's invented.
There's a lot of really good laughs, a lot of really good gags. Yeah. It's kind of gory, but in a fun way. A lot of slapstick humor. I did not do research. I don't. It's something Craig, the guy's name, that directed. I have no idea.
No.
I'm sorry. But Alan...
Craig T.
Nelson directed this movie. Craig T. Mustache. Alan Tudyk is in the movie. He's not... You think he's the main character. He's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's the other guy, Dale.
The jolly gentleman.
Yeah.
Dale, the man of carriage.
He's the man of carriage.
I was trying to say he's the fat one.
Yep. But yeah, it was funny. I'd say this is worth a watch.
It's on Netflix streaming.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. If you got Netflix, definitely watch it. I'd say it's a must.
If you got fuck all to do,
yeah,
just watch this movie.
It's really funny. I laughed out loud a lot of parts.
Revisit this. It's on my list of movies that it was probably about over the it was before the summer that I tried to watch this movie. And sometimes you're not in the right frame of mind to watch a movie and you just kind of bail.
Yeah.
So, but upon your recommendation, I think I'll give this a go.
Yeah, definitely recommend Tucker and Dale versus Evil. Really cool. Good.
All right, so that's what we've been watching this week. You want to dive right into a top five?
Sure.
All right. So, like I said before, you're a huge, huge Western guy.
Yeah,
there's a
I love
couple.
Westerns.
There was a couple in your blind spot. I know you haven't seen.
It's a couple of like really old ones I haven't seen.
Yeah.
But,
I'm not a huge Western dude.
I mean, I like certain Westerns.
Right.
I don't normally like to, call me whatever. Sometimes these movies are too boring for me to sit down.
Sometimes they're paced like really deliberate and slow.
Right.
And like, it's coffee and it's acquired taste.
Yeah. But I like certain kind of Westerns. Ones that there are Westerns that I really love, which I would say would... And there's a lot of them that I love, mm-hmm. So I would say I'm a pretty big Western fan.
All right, so we're probably going to have some crossover on this. So if you mention a movie that's on my list, I'll probably speak up and tell you where it is, and we can talk about it together.
Okay.
Would you like me to go first?
Yes.
All right. My number five in my top five Westerns of all time. I told Sage I would put this on my list. I'm sure she's very proud of me. This is one of... it's one of Sage's, my girlfriend's, her favorite movie. She She watched it with her dad a lot growing up. This movie came out in 1974. It's directed by Mel Brooks.
Oh.
It's a movie called Blazing Saddles.
Yes.
Blazing Saddles is a movie that could not be made today.
Nope.
It was just a different time. I don't want to get political, and I'm not going to.
We
don't do that on this show. But it was a lot of, like, racial themes. It's a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting thing about this movie, it was starring a guy named Cleon Little. And you're going to say, who's that? And I'm going to say, I don't know, because he wasn't in a lot of stuff. They wanted Richard Pryor. They wanted Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor to be in this movie. Studios talked him out of it. Studios didn't want Pryor. They were resistant of him because of his stand-up. He's very edgy at the time. So he actually came in and wrote parts of this movie rather than being in it.
Huh.
This would have been amazing if he was in it.
Yeah, it would have been...
it would have been absolutely amazing.
Legendary performance.
Yeah. This movie's hilarious. It still holds up. It's a very, very funny movie. It's basically about a town that's like a corrupt town. And to like sway the people, they hire a black sheriff. And
right.
It's like hilarity ensues. And I'm not going to go over the plot. I mean, it's just a funny movie. I know it's not your traditional Western. It's a Western spoof. They play on a lot of the Western tropes, which to me get the biggest laughs.
Yeah.
When they have like the full town of people, but they're all cardboard cut. It's just, I don't know. This is a classic movie with classic lines. If you haven't seen this, you've seen this, right?
I've seen it all the way through.
Yeah.
I know lines and I know scenes from the movie. I will say, out of all the top five best Western lists that I looked up on the internet, I did not see that on any of the lists.
Really?
Yeah.
I really do stand by Blazing Saddles. I think it's my favorite Mel Brooks movie. I can actually say that with a straight face. It's funny, like, I'm a big Star Wars fan. I never found Spaceballs very funny. It's not funny.
It's not one of my favorites.
Robin Hood Men in Tights, I think, is a far superior movie to Spaceballs.
I agree. I love Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Especially for one Dave Chappelle.
Right. He's really good.
Who, I just want to mention, this broke today. He walked off stage last night in Hartford.
Really?
Yeah, he was getting heckled. And he got 5 minutes into his set. Everybody was just yelling like, yeah, Dave, yeah, do Rick James. And he got really pissed. So he lit up a cigarette. He sat on stage for 25 minutes. Like, just kind of rambled. And then at the 30-minute mark, he walked away.
Please tell me there's a video of it.
There is a video of it.
Oh, I gotta
Not the whole thing. It's like 5 minutes of him, like, kind of just babbling. And then he walks off. I don't blame the guy. You want to sit there and scream? This is why he stopped doing comedy.
Yeah, I mean, that's their job, you know. They're going to sit on stage and doing their job, and people are going
to... And people are trying to say, like...
Give him shit for it.
Yeah, calling him an asshole and stuff on the internet. It's like, whatever. But I stand by.
Yeah.
I'm walking off stage. I'm okay with it.
Cause yeah.
Because I didn't pay money to see him. And I would have been pissed at the people, not him. Just shut up and let the guy perform.
Yeah.
Anyways. So Blazing Saddles is my number five. That was I took a little right turn.
Yeah.
What do you got for number five?
Again, I don't know my research, so I don't know who directed this movie, but a movie called Hang 'Em High.
Hang 'Em High.
Starring a one Clint Eastwood.
Yep. This is one of the classics.
I think it came out in like the 60s, somewhere in there in the 60s.
Yeah, I think it was before. I don't think this was Sergio Leone.
No, it's not, because it doesn't have his trademarks.
I'm gonna guess this. This is what we do on the show. We go off the dome. I'm going to guess that he directed this, because High Plains Drifter was his second directing
He did not direct this movie, because I know the first movie that he directed, which I won't say because it's on my list.
Okay, very good.
All
right. Anyways,
so it's about Clint Eastwood. His family gets killed. I haven't seen it in a while, but he gets hung by a group of outlaws, and he was able to break out of it. Like, they leave, they hang him, and then they leave, and then he's able to break out of it. Like, the tree breaks.
It's like a lot of the classic tropes. Like, yeah, yeah.
And exactly. Then like he's out for revenge, and the whole it's kind of cool through the whole movie. He has the like the mark from when he was hung from the rope. So and like when he gets to like one of the guys that hung him, he's like, you're the man that did this to me, and he shows him the mark. It's a really good movie. The commissioner from the first Batman movie is in it.
Yep.
Whatever his name is.
I'm not even gonna try.
But yeah, he's in it. It's yeah, I think it's a really good Western.
I have seen it.
It's definitely worth it.
It's a very classic, like, revenge story.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a good movie.
That's my number five.
Very cool. My number four is a movie that came out in the year 2012. Very recent movie. I was very resistant on seeing this movie for really no reason whatsoever. It's done by one of my favorite directors. And then when I finally saw it, this movie legit blew me away of how good it was. It's probably about 10 minutes too long, maybe 15 minutes too long. But I'm talking about Django Unchained.
Oh, I almost put this on my... I almost put that on my list.
This movie is fucking awesome.
I would rate it under one of my favorite Westerns.
I loved Django. And I think I loved it because I didn't think I was going to like it. I thought it was going to be like super over the top, like
yeah.
Quentin Tarantino-ish. Like I love Tarantino. I don't love all his movies, but... This one, I mean, I remember I saw this, and I think I texted you right away. I said, Evan, you have to see Django Unchained.
Yeah,
it's right up your alley.
Really good. I think it's one of Tarantino's best.
I was just super blown away. It's a super interesting movie. It's very smart. The action and the violence is so over the top.
A lot of great actors.
DiCaprio puts in one of the... I'm a huge DiCaprio mark. I think he's a great actor. And he brought it in this movie. He was a very interesting villain. There were scenes with him and Christoph Waltz just sparring back and forth, like verbally. It was just amazing.
My two favorite actors in Django Unchained would definitely be... Christoph Waltz is fucking amazing.
Yes.
And Samuel Jackson really
was
delivers.
Awesome. Was a very interesting character in this movie. He was like... the head butler of the of Candyland,
who I guess is based off of a real guy.
I'm sure, but the big climax of this movie I thought happened, and then there was another 20 minutes. That's my only critique of this movie.
Yeah,
and I'm not gonna give spoilers because it's too recent of a movie.
But it was good.
It's a great film. I was a huge fan of Django.
Like when it went on longer, it wasn't bad.
No, it needed to wrap itself up. It needed to go a little bit further. I understood why it was a little bit longer.
Made for a pretty cool scene with the those guys that were hauling him. Oh, the scene that Tarantino was in.
Yeah, where he gave himself like a really weird Australian accent.
Yeah, it was weird. But I like that scene.
Couple cool cameos in this movie. Walton Goggins.
Yeah,
excuse me. And
yeah, he's awesome.
Jonah Hill in a very funny scene.
That scene was hilarious.
That scene is great with the... there's a scene with the KKK, which... doesn't seem like you could squeeze any comedy out of that, but it's
possible.
Well,
it makes them look really stupid.
It makes them look like awful, which it very well should.
Yeah.
Jamie Foxx was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
DiCaprio.
I can't believe Will Smith was going to be...
He turned it down.
Django, and he turned it down.
He was really had his eye on that After Earth script.
Yeah, and it's completely bombed.
So that's my number four.
All right. My number four, you're probably going to be really surprised that this is high up on my list. But Tombstone.
Let's not talk too much about this movie.
Okay.
Because this is crossover. But
I knew you were gonna have this on your list.
Yeah, this is on my list.
Tombstone, amazing cast.
Yep.
Kurt Russell, Val Kilmer, Michael Biehn, one of my personal favorites, Michael Biehn.
Plays a very good villain in this.
Very great villain. I think this movie makes him one of the most underrated actors. There's so many actors.
We'll get to it.
When you I'm sure you can flesh it out more.
Yeah.
So yeah, number four, great fucking one of the best Tombstone, I would say.
All right. Well, we'll get to Tombstone.
Okay.
My number three is a movie that's been recommended to me for a lot of years. I never really got around to watching until I noticed when I said I was going to do some research for this episode. I noticed this was streaming on Netflix. So I watched a movie that came out in 1968, directed by Sergio Leone, called Once Upon a Time in the West.
I've been meaning to watch this.
Starring Charles Bronson, Henry Fonda, Jason Robards, and Claudia Cardinale. I'm not going to try and say her name.
Okay.
Anyways, so yeah, this is a super, super entertaining Western. I will say that watching this movie... I've noticed some parallels between Sergio Leone, Nicholas Winding Refn.
Yeah.
The way that Leone will let the camera linger during scenes, it's so good. And it's so necessary to the story he's trying to tell. There's an opening scene, And this movie opens with three guys waiting at a train station, waiting for somebody to show up. When the guy shows up, they have like a quick draw gunfight, and the guy kills the three people. Spoilers. This scene, if it was shot today, would be probably 2 minutes long. The scene's 20 minutes.
Oh,
and
shit.
It's awesome. It's just like these three guys, they walk in, they're like imposing. I think like, all right, these are like the three main villains of the entire movie. Like, there's no dialogue. They're just like chilling at this station. There's like a fly in the dude's face. And it was just, I was all in. And then the main character, I guess the main character shows up. His name is Harmonica. Played by Charles Bronson. He's essentially like a man with no name.
Yep.
But he plays a harmonica, and that's what they call him. And you basically... The plot of the movie is they kill this guy. They're trying to build railroad through this this real estate. You know, it's back in the West. And so there's this guy who owns like a piece of land who knew that the railroad was coming through and the land would be worth something. So they have this guy killed, but except his wife isn't there. So when his wife shows up, like, she's going to need protection because they need to take her out. So that's where the harmonica character come in. And there's another character called Cheyenne, played by Jason Robards. He's just got out of jail. I thought he was like going to be a villain, but he ends up kind of being a good guy, and they team up and whatnot. But basically the motivations of the harmonica character, you don't find out until the last 5 minutes of the movie, and it pays off. It's a really cool payoff on like what he's doing there and what his business is and whatnot. And it's a good movie. I definitely think you would enjoy it.
Okay. I'd like to watch it.
Yeah, Once Upon a Time in the West.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah. The main chick, fucking Boobs McGee.
Oh yeah.
She not looking too bad for a chick from 1978.
Mm.
Good stuff on there. Yeah, just a really great movie.
Okay.
I watched a couple of westerns, and this one stood out as probably my favorite.
It was on every list that I looked at for best western,
and for good reason.
Yeah,
it didn't bore me. I mean, it's long too. It's a burn, man. It's like probably 249, 250.
Wow.
Yeah, but it, like I said though, like I could see a lot of parallels between the way Leone shoots some of his scenes as Nicholas Winding Refn. Like people talk about Drive like, oh, it's boring. It's like, no, he's letting the camera linger. He's letting the frame tell the story. You know, you don't always need people giving exposition and telling you what's going on.
Sometimes I think
you got to let it up. You got to absorb the scene a little bit.
Sometimes I think quick cuts can be really jarring.
Right. And that's what I really like about this movie. And like I said, I found parallels between a lot of Winding Refn's, like even how I hated, Only God Forgives. It's a beautiful movie. It's a really great looking movie.
Movies just look fantastic.
Yeah. Just, My thing with Only God Forgives was it gave in to a lot of the things that people bitched at. It was what people said Drive was that I disagreed with. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, yeah. But that's a different story for a different day. So that's my number three.
All right. My number three is, I think this movie is probably one of the best movies ever made. It's not my number one, but I do believe it's one of the best movies ever filmed.
Mm-hmm.
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Okay, well, this is my number two.
Okay,
so we can talk together on this movie.
All right.
This is the best of the spaghetti westerns.
Right.
It sounds cliche.
It's supposed to be the Man with No Name trilogy.
Yeah, yeah.
But High Plains Drifter is also the same kind of story. Anyways.
Yeah.
Good, Bad, and the Ugly. Clint Eastwood.
Eli Wallach plays Tuco the Ugly.
Yep.
And then so Clint Eastwood is Blondie. That's just what they call him. He's the Man with No Name.
Yep.
And then Lee Van Cleef.
Lovely Van Cleef.
Is the villain of the movie.
And all three of these actors are they're all in the trilogy.
Right.
They're in every movie. I mean, I would have put the other movies on my list, but I think this is the best of them all.
Yeah.
It gets, you know, the spot. Yeah, gold and...
There's buried gold. They each have like a little bit of the information. What really makes this movie stand out, I think, over the other two is the Tuco character.
Right.
Eli Wallach is amazing in this movie.
Yep.
And how he didn't get an Oscar nod or whatever, beyond
It's funny.
It is very funny.
It's long, but
it's super interesting.
But it's good.
Yeah, it's a long, sprawling tale.
Probably Clint Eastwood is at his finest.
Yep.
If you have at all an interest in Westerns, start here.
Yeah, this is one of those movies, like, if you've never seen it, you definitely got to run out and check it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's a buy for me. I mean, it's a classic, classic movie.
Yeah, yeah, it's a must-own in any collection.
This movie made me appreciate Westerns.
Yeah, it's same here, man.
I'll tell you a quick story. I was in a fictional writing class in Salem State, and my professors, a guy I really looked up to, I really liked him, he pulled me aside and he said, you know, everyone gets to pick a genre and you basically write one chapter of a story that doesn't exist. He goes, I want you to do Westerns. And I was like, well, I don't want to. And he was like, just do Westerns.
Because you weren't into Westerns at the time.
He showed me, we watched True Grit, John Wayne. And I didn't, at the time, I was like, oh, it was okay. I didn't really
it's
love
it.
It's
not that good.
I think it's a little overrated.
I agree.
And so instead I wrote this stupid superhero story that was kicking around in my head. Mm-hmm. And it came out shit. I didn't like it. And then I'll never forget, probably about 2 or 3 months later, I watched The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly for the first time.
Yeah.
And I fucking kicked myself in the ass. I was like, if I had seen this,
yep.
It just clicked in my head, like, oh, these fucking stories are awesome.
Also, for the pure fact that most Westerns all have the same story.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's not the point. It's about how they get to that point, you know, how they get to,
yeah,
you know, the journey in the movie.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, Can't say enough good things about The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Just a great film.
Yeah.
Perfect. Just a movie that I like to revisit every now and then.
Yep.
For sure. So, yeah, that was your number three. Now, number two. What's your number two?
I had a really hard time struggling. This almost made my number one, but only because the one that I did pick for number one, I just enjoy so much more.
Mm.
But my number two is, again, probably one of the greatest movies ever made, Unforgiven.
Yep.
Directed by Clint Eastwood.
Yep.
Came out in like 91.
I was going to say either 90 or 91. I think this one Best Picture.
Yeah, it was one Best Picture.
And I think Morgan Freeman won Best Supporting.
Yeah.
And maybe even Eastwood won Best Director. I would have to go back and check my notes.
Yeah. It's about Clint Eastwood's character. He's like a burned out old gunslinger outlaw. And he's hired by a group of whores who were attacked. And the group of whores are hiring him to go after the people that attacked them.
Right.
And I think this movie's more about, like, it's, like, kind of showing, like, shining a light on like, the Old West. And, like,
It kind of brushed aside a lot of, like, it's like, this is kind of really what was going on.
Exactly.
Like, it made it seem less prestigious and more real.
Yeah.
It's grittier.
Like, he says, Clint Eastwood says, like, when he was younger, all he did was drink.
Right.
And how, like, killing has really affected him now.
Yeah,
it's,
exactly.
It's, like, taking a toll on him.
Yeah, like, you know, in the old Westerns, it's like, you know, they just pull the gun out and shoot the guy, and it's like, you know, I'm cool, I just shot that dude. But this one, it's, like, really, it's very much down to earth, and, like, has a little bit more gravity to it, where it's, like, you know, you shoot a dude, it's pretty heavy shit.
There's a scene with the young kid who claims he's killed, you know, a ton of guys.
Right.
And it turns out he hasn't. And after he kills somebody for the first time, it really affects him and takes a toll on
him. Exactly.
And there's the great quote from Clint Eastwood, he's, you know, killing a man's a hell of a thing.
Exactly, yep.
Take away everything he's got.
Yep.
Great, great line. One of my favorite lines in any Western.
Yeah, I'll be honest. Two things swayed me from putting this on my list. One, I knew you would put it on.
Yep.
And two, I haven't seen this in a long time.
Yeah.
This is a movie I saw, I haven't seen in years. Like, I need to rewatch this yesterday.
The scene at the end,
with him and Gene Hackman?
When he kills Gene Hackman at the end. Spoiler, sorry. You should have seen this movie by now. It's one of the great movies ever made. That scene is probably it's fucking amazing. Yeah, I can't say enough about this movie. It's one of my favorite movies ever.
I mean, look at the three main actors in this movie. Clint Fuck Eastwood.
Yep.
At
his best.
Morgan God Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
And Gene Fuck Hackman.
Gene fucking Hackman.
I mean, you can't go wrong with that cast.
Doesn't get any better than
like,
that.
Like, in their, like, not prime. Well, yeah, I mean, some of those guys were in their prime in, like, the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, great, great film.
Was this your number two? Or?
No, this was not on my list. I haven't seen it in a long time, so I really couldn't, like...
You knew what I was going to talk about.
I really
about
couldn't
it.
Carry on about it. Yeah, and I knew you it would be on your list, so... I'll get my number one out of the way. My number one is Tombstone.
Okay.
It's my favorite Western. I can't deny... let me just say this. I'm going to say this. Kurt Russell, Val Kilmer, clearly Sam Elliott, Bill Paxton, Powers Booth, Michael Biehn, Charlton Heston, Stephen Lang, Thomas Hayden Church, Billy Zane, Michael Rooker.
Fucking Rooker.
Billy Bob Thornton. Those guys are all in this movie and are all great. I didn't even say Jason Priestley.
You said Billy Zane, right?
I did say Billy Zane. He was pretty big back then, sort of. He was the Phantom.
I think this movie, I think Tombstone is a love letter to Westerns.
Yes.
Even though it's based off real events.
I forgot to backtrack. I wanted to talk about this. I thought this was interesting. This came out in 1993. So it's directed by a man named George P. Cosmatos. Okay. Cosmatos. You know why you haven't heard his name is because he's directed like 5 movies.
Okay.
The other 2 movies that were of note that he directed were not good. They were Rambo First Blood Part 2.
Oof.
And Cobra.
Oh, God.
This man passed away in the year 2005.
Oh.
Why is this movie so good and nothing else that he did ever was, and his career never, like, fleshed out?
It's a great question.
It's a great movie. I don't know. I can't really... There's not a lot of good adjectives to like... When this movie's on, man, I'm done. I stop everything that I'm doing. I quit my job. If it's 3 in the morning, I'm staying up. I fucking love this movie from beginning to end. For one, you can't talk about this movie without talking about Val Kilmer.
You can't talk about this movie without talking about the shit out of the OK Corral.
Great scene.
Yep.
Great scene.
And probably one of the best scenes in a Western.
It's a classic story, for one.
Yeah.
Another thing I thought was interesting was this movie, there was another version of this story called a movie called Wyatt Earp. I think it came out after Tombstone.
Yeah.
With Kevin Costner and Dennis Quaid. Funny note, I used to think Dennis Quaid and Val Kilmer were the same person in the 80s. I did. I thought it was like the same actor. Hmm. But this movie is far and away a much better film.
I think it's Val Kilmer's best role.
This is it for him. I mean, if he doesn't hear about, like, if when he meets people, like, I loved you in Tombstone, like, he has to. There's so many great, great lines in this movie.
Acting-wise, I think it's Kurt Russell's best role.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why this was my number four, just because... I love it. I think it's because I've seen it so many times.
To Western aficionados, they're going to be like, oh, that's not the best Western. I know it's not a Sergio Leone spaghetti Western. I know it's not fucking John Wayne. But this movie came out. This is ballpark for me. Like, 93. I was like 13 when I saw this. Yeah. I was like, this is an awesome, badass Western. This is the greatest movie ever.
This is one of the first Westerns I've ever seen.
I think this is a cult movie.
Yeah,
this is a cult movie that no one has admitted is a cult movie. When I was picking up the equipment today, I was talking to Kurt Erickson. He works at the TV station that I'm a producer at. And I mentioned this to him, and he's not a big Western fan. He was like, oh, my God, I love Tombstone. He was talking, and he even quoted it. He was like, my favorite line in that entire movie. He was like, when Doc Holliday is going to back up Wyatt Earp, he's like, you know, somebody asked him, like, why are you backing him up? He's like, oh, he's my friend. And this guy laughs, like, I got a million friends. Yeah. And he's like, I don't.
Yeah, I don't.
I just think, and that, like, totally, like, I was like, wow, that is a good line. And that really did, like, that's the crux of this movie is it's really, like, the study between, like, the friendship between these two guys.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't get super deep into it because it's more of, like, a sprawling tale of Wyatt Earp and how he ends up where he ends up.
And they're not friends in the beginning of the movie. They become friends over the time in the movie.
Right. I mean, and I know the facts are skewed in this movie, but, I mean, there's just so many. One thing I want to point out, another great performance in this movie never gets recognized, Stephen Lang.
Yeah.
Stephen Lang.
Who you will never recognize in another movie.
No, he's the bad guy in Avatar.
Yeah.
Is, like, the other way I'll point it out. But he plays Ike Clinton.
Yep.
Great, great villain.
Great lines from him.
Great lines. You can't talk about a great villain in that movie without bringing up Powers Booth playing Curly Bill. Fucking awesome. the showdown between Doc Holliday and Val Kilmer and Michael Biehn.
Yeah.
That is an amazing scene.
Such a great scene.
Like, the acting in this movie was amazing. It blew my mind when I was like, I'm going to look up this director. I don't even know who directed
this
movie.
Why is it not more
it's
recognized?
It's so good.
Yeah. It's so fucking amazing.
You know, clearly Sam Elliott and his fucking awesome mustache yep. is in this. They even strapped on a sweet mustache on Bill Paxton.
Fucking Bill Paxton, man.
This movie, you actually pointed out, this movie is mustache porn.
It's mustache porn, yeah.
If you are into mustaches, yeah. if you are into lip ferrets.
This has to be your favorite movie.
Yeah, you fucking put on Tombstone, just whack the fuck off. Because there's so many good fucking mustaches in this movie. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
I always have a joke. Whenever I go into like a store with DVDs, I always go and look to see how much Tombstone is.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And I refuse to buy it just because I've seen it so many fucking times.
I don't own Tombstone. It would be pointless for me to buy this movie.
I've just seen it. It's on every Saturday.
It's on the country music channel.
Right.
Which I don't like country music, but I'll always be on the guide.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, oh, sweet Tombstone. I'm like, CMT, what the fuck is that? And I'm like, oh, country, what the?
Yeah.
I gotta screw it. I'll go through the commercials. I don't care. It's fucking Tombstone. I love this movie.
I've just seen it so many times that I just refuse to buy it, even though it's one of my favorite movies.
I don't know if people will get this. I would love to do a top five, like, wheelhouse movies. Like, this is a wheelhouse movie for me. Like,
yeah.
When this movie's on, like, this, Fugitive.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking, that is wheelhouse
That's
for me.
Movie.
That is like, ah, oh, man, if that movie's on, I am all in, man. I fucking cash my chips in and I'm in for the day.
That's another movie that I went and looked at what else that director has done. And
not
it's
a
done
lot,
nothing.
Yeah. So it's a weird void for the 90s.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my number one, man. I fucking love Tombstone.
My number one is, it's a movie I got a real soft spot for. When I saw it, I just fell in love with it. Outlaw Josie Wales.
Nice. Good choice.
It's my favorite Western I've ever seen. Clint Eastwood. This is the first movie that Clint Eastwood ever directed.
Oh, okay.
Came out in some kind of 80s. It was, I guess, in the 80s.
It was one of his last Westerns.
Except for Unforgiven.
Yeah, this is like, because he had a string of a shitload.
Yeah, like, Westerns were kind of dying out, and then Clint Eastwood came out with this one, sort of revived it. He stopped doing Westerns, and then he came out with Unforgiven.
Right.
But yeah, this is the first movie he ever directed, and it's fantastic. It's kind of long, but it's good. It's a road movie.
It is a road movie.
It's a revenge tale.
It is a revenge tale.
It starts out with Clint Eastwood. He's like fighting alongside with the South against the North during the Civil War.
Yeah, he starts out as a Confederate soldier, right?
Right, because he's getting revenge because there are like North soldiers killed his family.
Union
soldiers. They killed his family. And so he joined up with
right.
the Confederate to fight the Union. And then something goes wrong. Like, the war's ending. And they go to be taken as prisoners. But the Union's going to kill them. So.
This had one of the more involved plots for a Western.
Yeah.
I do agree. This was like a... you know what? This movie didn't really like... I was so focused on these other five movies that this movie didn't really, like, dawn on me. Like, oh, shit.
It just has such a great story.
Yeah.
So Clint Eastwood gets away, and then, like, throughout the rest of the movie, Clint Eastwood's just going along. He's, like, gaining people, like, travelers
yeah,
with
yeah.
him as he goes along. And by the end of the movie, he gains, like, this family. They grow, like, a really good bond with each other.
Mm.
And, it's just, I think this movie's like about family and how, you know, family doesn't have to be blood.
Right, right, right.
And how they all stick together at the end. And it's a great ending. It's just, this one I just fell in love with. It's definitely my favorite Western ever made.
Very cool movie, yeah. This is one I did sit down and watch myself. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a great pick for number one. It's very, very quintessential Western.
Yeah,
good call. It was a good list.
Yeah, it was really good list.
I had fun talking about these movies. I guess we could do some honorable mentions.
Yeah, I got a few honorable mentions. I watched Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid.
Great movie.
Really good.
Yeah.
It just didn't make my list because I love these five movies more than that. 310 to Yuma, the remake, was really good.
I was a big fan of that movie.
Yeah,
James Mangold, director of The Wolverine.
Yeah, I'm sorry I've never seen the original, but I love the remake.
You can't deny a Christian Bale.
Right. It had a really good cast.
Yeah, it was Christian Bale,
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe and Ben Foster.
Yep.
Was an awesome villain in that.
It was a great villain.
Yeah.
A movie I haven't seen, but I keep hearing how amazing it is, called The Searchers.
Mm.
With
never been.
It stars the Duke.
John Wayne.
John Wayne. Supposed to be really good. I gotta see it.
Cool.
And there's one movie that's supposed to be classic. It's like number one on every list that I haven't seen. It's in black and white, called High Noon.
Oh yeah,
which is like I've heard like every Western copies this movie.
Right. It probably like invented a ton of the tropes and whatnot.
I think it was made in like 1930. I don't know.
Wild Bunch is a movie I've never seen from start to finish, unfortunately.
Wild Bunch, I've seen a good deal of it. It's really good and it's really gory.
I've watched. Well, that's the thing is I heard. It was back when I was on a huge Tarantino kick, and he throws around the Wild Bunch reference.
Yeah.
And I think I watched like the final shootout. I was like, "That was awesome."
Yeah, it's awesome. And it's
but I had no business talking about the full movie. I've never.
I know that it's like the most violent of any Western movie.
In the Magnificent Seven.
Yeah, I never got around to watching. I wanted to watch it.
Remake, '90s remake with Ron Perlman and Michael Biehn. TV series.
TV series, yeah.
Yeah, I saw it on Netflix. I'll tell you, Westerns, not a category on Netflix.
It isn't?
Not a category.
I thought it is. I thought I've seen it.
I looked, man. Because I tried to look up a shitload of movies, and the only one that really caught my eye was Once Upon a Time in the West.
Holy shit.
Not a category.
I swear I've seen it once on there as a category. Because I've watched a couple of Westerns.
Maybe, I mean, I looked, man. I didn't see it. So, and I'm sure there's a ton we missed, and if you disagree, you can fuck yourself. I'm just kidding. I love it, all the listeners. Honestly, like, if we missed something...
I wanted to mention Firefly as a TV series. It's kind of like, it's a Western.
All right, if you want to start talking TV, let's, let me hit you with a little Briscoe County Jr.
Oh, love.
Great show.
This was, I discovered...
Classic. Bruce.
I discovered Briscoe County Jr. when I was like 13 and I got really obsessed with Evil Dead and Army Darkness and Bruce Campbell. I was like, what else this guy has done? And I found Briscoe County Jr. and it's really good.
It is a great show.
Very
fun.
Yeah.
Good show. Western shows, I mean, I don't know. I never watched Wagon Train.
No.
But I heard they just keep wagon training.
The Rifleman.
Shit.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else.
I was...
Bonanza.
Oh, Bonanza.
Yeah.
I was going to say in Rawhide.
Was that Rawhide? That was
it might have been both.
I have no
Who
idea.
The fuck knows? A movie I toyed with putting on my top five just to be cute, and then I realized, fuck that movie, I don't like it. Back to the Future 3.
Yeah.
Not a good movie.
Not a good movie. No. And it
Lesser
does not,
of the three.
Does not deserve to be on this list.
Lesser of the three by 88 miles per hour.
My girlfriend might disagree, but I think it's the only Western she's ever seen.
Yeah.
Probably. So,
I'm just going to say not a... I mean, if people fight me on it, I know a lot of people like that movie. I'm just saying. Not for me. The less of the three.
Yeah.
I think it literally goes backwards.
I agree.
I think they touch the sun with Back to the Future. It's a great movie.
First one's the best.
Classic. I would say that is a 5-star for me, Back to the Future.
Yeah.
That is in the pantheon of great movies. Two, not so much.
No.
Three, even less.
Yep. Not
so
good.
No. So, so that's it. That's our top five fucking Westerns. I think I'd like to see more.
Yeah.
This would be, if we do this podcast week to week for a couple of years, this would be a good one to revisit.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's more to be said about Westerns.
Yeah.
I don't think you can say enough.
No, especially since Blazing Saddles made my list, which is a good movie, but it's not in the vein of the classic Western, but...
Do we want to assign each other anything?
Well, we're thinking about taking a week and a half
break.
Yeah,
we're taking a break.
So, I mean, do you have anything in mind that you want me to see?
I want you to see Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Really? That bad?
I think you'll like it. I think if you liked The World's End a lot, I think you'd like this one.
Fair enough.
Or, you know, you're a big fan of Shaun of the Dead.
You know what I should have talked about it now playing? You know what I watched from beginning to end the other day is Saving Private Ryan.
From beginning to end?
Yeah, it was on.
It's like a 3-hour movie.
I started.
It's so good, though.
I started it, and then I made my dinner, and then I finished it.
So next time, should we do best war movies?
Holy cow. I mean, I don't know if I want to go down that rabbit hole yet.
Yeah,
I think I want to do...
I don't think I'm ready.
We should do a fun top five.
Yeah.
Soon.
Like best chainsaw kills?
Like best fight?
Yeah. Best fight scenes?
Yeah. Like yeah. best fight scene.
Yes.
Top five best fight scene.
Okay.
I mean...
I've seen a lot of action movies.
Do we want to say fist fights or gun fights? Because that's two different fucking... That's two different top fives.
Yeah. How about top five brawls?
All right. Top five brawls. I'm in. I mean, that could... And I, you know what I love about it? That could span so many different genres.
Right. Because
I've already got like 10 movies in my head right now.
Yep.
Top five movie brawls. I fucking love it. I can't
wait. That's a good one. I can't wait for that one.
I can't wait. We should do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
We could kick out two episodes in a fucking week if we wanted to.
Yeah, we could. Just dedicated to brawls.
Oh, my God. Top five movie brawls. I mean, I'm going to do... You know what's funny about this one? This is the one I picture you coming in with copious notes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, top five brawls. Evan's got 7 pages of fucking notes.
This one...
This movie came out, was produced by, and written by, and he's just got, like, the whole thing.
This is when I finally do my research.
Yeah.
Well, I won't need to do my research because I already have it in my head.
Top five brawls. I can't wait. That's going to be a good time.
That's my wheelhouse.
And then at the end of the episode, we just beat the fuck out of each other.
Yeah, you just hear, like...
Just, like, the fucking mics going on drop and yeah. just fucking... It's just fucking DVDs tumbling over.
Glass breaking and getting thrown out the window.
Sage is yelling. Yeah. All right, so I guess we could wrap it up. We did about an hour.
Nice.
Did about an hour.
That was Westerns. Those are our favorite Westerns.
Those are the only Westerns we've ever seen.
Yeah, those might be the only Westerns we've ever seen.
I mean, I'm sure we missed a ton, but whatever.
Dad, I tried to give due to the worthy mention.
We should try to get Dad to listen to this episode.
Yeah, I think
he'll
like it.
Westerns.
Yeah, he'll like it.
Anybody over the age of, like, 50, they're pretty big on Westerns. That's the thing with our generation. I feel like, and like you mentioned in the last episode, it's dying out. They don't make them
anymore.
They don't
make Westerns anymore. Yeah. Last one I can remember was True Grit.
Which we saw in the theater.
We did.
And it was good.
We went on like a holiday. I think it was like Thanksgiving.
It was Christmas Day.
Really?
Yeah, it was me, you, and Teddy.
Oh, yeah. We were really happy to not be home on Christmas
yeah,
Day.
Yeah, I think we were like, all right, bye, family. We're yeah. See this weird Coen Brothers movie remake with Jeff Bridges and Reese Fett. and LaBeouf.
I've been meaning to talk about this. We got to set up an email.
Yeah, we probably should.
If fans want to, I don't know if there's fans, but if they want to talk to us.
Fans? Hello?
Fans, hello? Hello?
Yeah, we should probably... Alright, so we'll reboot next... maybe I'll set up some kind of Twitter and Facebook.
Whole new show next week.
It's going to be a different
episode.
Show. We won't be back.
No, no.
Two different guys.
Yeah, two different guys. We're not coming back. Goodbye.
We'll beat the fuck... No! we gotta have a good send-off first.
Yeah.
Alright, no. So, alright. So next week we'll do a fun one. We're going to do top five movie brawls.
Yep.
I think that's going to be a good episode. I'm fired up already.
Pretty
excited. I'm ready to fucking throw fists.
Me too.
We're going to get fired up. I mean, when you're mixing alcohol and top five brawls.
Yeah.
This fucking glass table is going to shatter.
It's going over someone's head.
It's fucking... Oh, my God. It's going to be crazy. Someone's cutting a promo.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's cutting a promo next week.
Going to cut a wrestling promo.
Yep. All right. Let's cut it here. I'm Adam.
I'm Evan.
It's Pop Junk Movies. We'll see you next time.
Good day.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Adios. Wish we had like a horse. Try not to listen. Did you write that yourself?
Yep. I was actually a goal.
It sounded like a horse story.
Is this wrong?
Yep.
Okay.